Amen. I tell you, I don't know when one family has so much talent in it. I didn't know you played the piano too. Of course, your girls all are just so talented, and everybody, I missed that in our family genes. They just didn't get passed on to me. I tried singing in the shower, and they even shut me down from doing that. So they're just beautiful. That was wonderful. And see these children up here this morning, wasn't that great? I'm telling you, that's just exciting. You know, this is a season for us to be thankful and for us to recognize God's gifts. And today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, and I invite you to turn there. We've been doing a journey through Ephesians and Revelations, and I was hoping to get a little further along in all these. I've just really enjoyed these studies. But I'm going to pass the baton on to Brother Geis, and he's going to be taking over next week. So we were able to get him transitioned in here. I believe that y'all will enjoy Brother Geis. So he'll be coming. And so this will be my last morning with y'all. And I think I'll meet with some of the pulpit committee tomorrow night to do some training with you guys. But I just want to say how thankful Margaret and I are of this church. You've been a blessing to us. It's just been a privilege to be able to serve you and just be here during this time. I know God has great plans for you. Jesus died on the cross. He went there because he loved us. And the Bible says that he redeemed us for a purpose and a plan. And so I know God has a great purpose for you. He paid a great price for you. And we need to seek that will. We need to seek that purpose, recognizing that God has a plan, and I believe he has a special plan for this church. So Margaret and I will sure be praying for you. We pray that you have a good Thanksgiving week, and we pray that this is just a blessed time for you. Ephesians chapter 3, I invite you to stand in honor of God's word. This is a passage that talks about privilege. I don't know if you realize how privileged you are. God has blessed us for us to have so much in this world that we live. We recognize our blessings. You know, in America, the poorest of the poor still have more wealth than 3/4 of the rest of the population. Realize in Haiti, they scratch by on about $14 to $25 a month. Could you live on $25 a month? I know in many of the countries, I talk to our missionaries and the people that serve, and they talk about making $300 a year, some of the people that they serve. $300 a year. That's a lot of our world. You know, we just do not recognize how gifted we are in America. Because we ought to realize it, everybody's trying to march in to get here. There's a reason for that. They're starving to death in the rest of the world. But you know, we recognize this, but again, we don't. It's gotten so customized to us, we're so used to it, that oftentimes we forget to count those blessings. I hope you'll count your blessings this week. Material blessings, spiritual blessings. Well, as we look at this passage, we see Paul mentioning some of the privileges that he has. And I think from time to time, we need to stop and consider our privileges, how privileged we are. And we need to thank God for them. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now, I don't know how many people would start off and say, "It's a privilege to be in jail for you. It's an honor to be in prison for you." Paul went from prison to prison, and what he says is, "Hey, it's a privilege for me to be in jail for your sake, because I got put here for preaching the gospel to you." I want you to stop and just kind of think how privileged we are. Oftentimes, even our suffering are blessings that we fail to count. Many times even our struggles are blessings. Don't like to think of that, but I recognize that a butterfly can't become a butterfly without a struggle. Probably at the time he's not saying, God, thank you for this struggle as I'm trying to get out of this cocoon. But later on, it's the very struggle that was a blessing. Paul says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, or the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Wow. God is great. Let's pray. Father, help us even in our struggles to count our blessings. Help us, God, even in the difficulties of life to recognize your generosity. Help us, God, to be caught up in the spiritual realms, recognizing that you have opened the door to heaven for us. Help us, God, not to look upon this world and walk in the depths of despair, but always, Father, to see the mountaintops where you dwell, showing us a higher and a better life. Help us, Father, during Thanksgiving to recognize your goodness and to cast our eyes upon you and upon heaven, recognizing your generosity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this passage, Paul talks about many of the privileges that he has enjoyed in his life. Now understand where he's preaching from: prison. And yet in prison, He talks about joy unspeakable. He talks about blessings uncountable. As he is in prison, locked between two guards, he recognized God's riches and God's glory. There's a word that we use in Israel called shalom. Shalom is that word that we talk about peace. It's the word for greeting. It's the word for goodbye. It's the word that means peace, but it's a special word. I've taught you that word before. The word shalom means peace in spite of the circumstances around you. It's the peace that a guy can have in a foxhole with bombs going all around. It's the peace that a person on the deathbed can have, although they might be getting ready to breathe their last breath. It's the peace that we have even in spite of the struggles, because it's a peace from God that surpasses all understanding, where we recognize the hope and generosity of God. We recognize in Him this inner peace that we have, and it's a peace that we have regardless of circumstances. That's the word shalom. And here is Paul in prison, and he begins to count his privileges. And he begins to share the privileges that the people he preached to has. And he first begins with the revelation of God. For he shares with his Gentiles. He says, God has revealed to you salvation. God has revealed to you the glory of heaven. Though once salvation was closed to you and you had no access to it, God has revealed an open door showing you life, life eternal. Paul says, I'm in prison for preaching freedom. I'm in prison for preaching God's glory. But God chose me to be a vessel to share with you that you can be saved. Now, folks, we are privileged that God revealed Himself to us. Do you understand? If God had not thrown open the gates of heaven and come down to earth to show Himself, we would not even know that God exists. If He had not sent His Son Jesus to the cross to die and share with us by believing and confessing Him and following Him that we can have life, we would never know it was available. And the Gentiles once did not know it. For the Jews have been keeping that little secret to themselves, that they thought they were the only chosen. And then God came and said, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. The Gentiles can come into heaven as well. I want you to think about the fact that God has invited us into His heaven. That's a privilege. It's something that we didn't deserve. It's something that we cannot attain on our own. It's something that we cannot even comprehend unless God reveals it. Now, God has chosen to reveal Himself in many ways. In the book of Psalms, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show up His handiwork. Have you ever gone out and looked at just how detailed nature is? I used to enjoy photography, and I would go, and when we lived in New Orleans especially, I'd set up a little dark room in our little apartment when we were going to seminary. Margaret would go and work herself to death every day, and I'd go to classes and come back and do photography and play tennis. It was a tough life back then. But I really enjoyed it. I'd get on my motorcycle, and I would run down into the basin, and I would get on the Bonnecarie Spillway levees, and I would go to the end of that levee, and I'd get down in those bayous, and it was just amazing what you would see. I remember one special picture one time. It was a spider web that I took with the early morning dew on it, with a spider on it, And you could just see every detail as the sun was coming through that. And I can still remember when I was in the dark room and I was developing that, and I could see that picture begin to come forth as the developing fluid worked on it. And I saw just every little web coming out, and just how intricate it was and how detailed it was. And I thought, wow, this shows the hand of God. I look into space, and I enjoy getting my telescope out sometime and just looking into space and looking at pictures of the stars and how well everything is balanced and how God has worked to place things in their right orbit and how God placed us in that little sweet spot here on Earth where we could not be any closer to the sun, we could not be any further to the sun, we could not be tilted any further and there be life, and yet God put us here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. As God says, here I am. But without God shouting that out and revealing himself, we would not have the privilege of knowing him. And then Paul says, God sent his word through the prophets, through his messengers. He talks about how God sent this word that reveals the mysteries that only the principalities and the powers once knew, that only heaven knew, that only the God's angels knew. And God began to reveal himself and whisper in the ear of the prophets and whisper in the ears of the biblical authors. And they began to write down the revelation of God so that we could know him and know how to go to him. That's a privilege. And then Paul says, ultimately, God sent his son to reveal himself in all of his glory. God sent his son to show us the mind of God, the heart of God, the life of God. As God sent his only son, God became flesh to dwell among us so that we could know him. That's a privilege. And so in these first six verses, Paul talks about the revelation of God. And he says, you are privileged that God chose to show himself to you. But then he talks about another privilege. For then Paul says, you are privileged. And it almost sounds egotistical at first, that God chose me to preach the gospel to you. And he told the people that God, in his wisdom and handiwork, chose Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And then he shared with them that it is a privilege for them not only to have heard the message, but for them to become messengers themselves. Now here's Paul the apostle in prison for preaching the gospel, and Paul says, it is a privilege that God chose me and called me, and that ultimately I'm in jail because of it, just so that you could hear the gospel. He suffered. And ultimately, he was beheaded so that you and I could hear about Jesus. And then Paul said, the very ability to share the gospel with others, even if it brings death upon yourself, that is a privilege. That God would honor you with the greatest message the world has ever known. You are honored that God gives you the opportunity every day to share the gospel. You are honored that you have a testimony that you can share with the people you work with. You are privileged that you are saved by grace and you have the opportunity to share that with others around you. That's a privilege. But how many of us look at it like a privilege and a joy? So often we look at it as a duty. But Paul says, I'm in jail because of it, and I celebrate because I could share the gospel. Even if it means I'm in jail, I'm excited, Paul says. When you read this, you can't help but get excited yourself. Because he talks about the fact that the very angels of heaven, I'm sharing the message that they hear. I'm sharing the God that they see every day in heaven. I get to be a part of that. It's an awesome thing. And then finally, he shares with us that special relationship that we have with God. It's so special that we are now his children, such that we can come to him, a great God, he says in this scripture, who is unimaginably big, who has resources that are unlimited. And he begins to name some of those resources in this passage. He begins to name some of the attributes of God, how big and awesome God is. And then he says this, that's the God I pray to. And he says, I pray that your understanding of this great God will become a reality in your life. You ever been on a cruise ship? We've been on a couple of cruises. Margaret and I, we've been to Alaska. We took a little Caribbean cruise with our family. There's so much you get to see with the sights, but you know what I like best? The food. I've never eaten snails, but I ate escargot on the last cruise we went on. Remember the guy came in and said, you can have lobster tail, we've got escargot. And I said, man, I never tried that, but I said, I'm Cajun enough, I'll eat anything. It don't eat me, I want to give it a try. And then he mentioned some other stuff. All these were these delicacies. And I said, wow, I just don't know which one to choose. He said, oh, don't worry, I'm going to bring you one of everything. I thought, wow, I like this place. Well, I'm told about a man who wanted to go on a cruise, and he saved his practically his whole life to get the money for it, to buy the ticket. And he carried peanut butter and crackers with him because that's what he was going to eat. He didn't have any money left over. It was a two-week cruise. 9 days into it, he ran out of peanut butter and crackers, and he went to the kitchen and asked if they had any scraps to throw away because he saw that they were throwing so much away. And that's when he learned the food came with the ticket. And for all that time, he had been starving himself when the greatest delicacies of his imaginations were there for him to eat and eat free. Our favorite thing on the last cruise that Margaret and I went on was the homemade ice cream machine that you could just dip a soft serve out of. And Margaret made me go all the time. She twisted my arm and I'd have to go fix her some, me some. It was great stuff. Well, in this passage, Paul says, your church is unlimited in resources. He says, we are unlimited and access to God. The only thing that limits us is our own ignorance, because we don't realize the God that we serve and the access that we have to Him, that we have the privilege to walk into the very throne of heaven where God sits and say, God, here are the needs in our life. Here are the things that we are facing. Here is what we need. And the only thing that limits us is our own ignorance. And so Paul says, my prayer for you is that you will know God in His awesomeness, that you will know God in His greatness, that you will have the wisdom and the unsurmountable wisdom and knowledge of how big God is, because the only thing that's limiting you is yourself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Is that a blank check for your next four-wheeler or a boat? No, it says good gifts. Sometimes good gifts are not material things. But here's what God says. I love you so much that I have opened the door for you to come in. Oftentimes, my phone rings. I have an app that says, that's a telemarketer. Guess what happens when that happens? I don't answer it. Sometimes the phone rings and I don't recognize the phone number, and I assume it's a telemarketer because they've gotten sharp. They even use numbers from Homer and Spring Hill to call me, and I think, oh, that's from Spring Hill. That's probably somebody from church wanting to get in touch with me. No, it's a telemarketer wanting to inform me about my credit cards. Nothing's wrong with them, they say, but I don't know what else they say. I always hang up at that point. I don't grant access. But when my screen lights up and it says the most beautiful grandbabies in all Western Europe, it says Lovebug is calling. And when it says Lovebug is calling, guess what? I answer. Lovebug called this morning. Margaret talked to her. She talked to all of them this morning. And then she told me, don't you say a word. We are going and we're buying this and this and that because they want it, and don't you fuss about the cost. You know what I said? Yes, ma'am. You're right. They want it. They get it. They are granted access. All they have to do is ask. Because I love them, they're going to receive. They are privileged. They are privileged because they are mine. God says we are privileged because we are His. And this Thanksgiving, you need to remind yourself how privileged you are. That you even heard the message of salvation. That God was willing to share it with you. You are privileged that people have died to grant you access. Like Paul the Apostle and so many others that died for you to have the opportunity to be saved. And ultimately for Jesus Christ himself, who died on the cross to open the gates of heaven, that the riches of glory are ours. We are privileged. And we ought to be thankful, because our gracious, loving God chose us, gave his Son for us, that whosoever believes and trusts in him can know all the mysteries of glory and one day can enter into heaven's gates, where only angels have trod. And we can be a part of that glorious gathering in the sky. We are privileged, and we should never forget it. And we ought to be thankful of it. And we ought to stop and thank God for the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus, and the salvation that he has bestowed. We are privileged, and we are blessed. Let's pray. I pray, Father, that every person here has experienced your salvation. They do not know the mysteries. They have not experienced the grace. Reveal yourself to them now. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, convict their heart, that they will want to choose to follow you, to repent of their sins, to receive the gift of life. And I pray, God, each of us will recognize how gifted and privileged we are. Sometimes, Father, in our gloom and doom of life, like Paul in prison, so many times we take our eyes off the heavenlies and we put it on the troubles around us. But God, help us not to drop our eyes from you. For when our eyes are upon you, we recognize how blessed we really are. In spite of the circumstances, the troubles, we recognize that we are privileged. We are gifted. We are blessed. Just to be able to call upon you and to recognize the hope of salvation, and for that to become a reality one day in our lives. So, Lord, remind us now of your grace, your mercy, your love, and help us, God, to have thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God speaking, I invite you to come. Maybe you need to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you need to rededicate your life, just recognizing how privileged and gifted you are as you recognize that you've allowed the world to cloud your heart and your vision. But now is the time for you to respond. God's Spirit speaks, you come.
In the cross, in the
would ask Tim just to continue to sing, but would you just bow your heads and just ask God to remind you of how you've been blessed, what salvation is, how glorious a gift that is. Tim sings, God speaks, you come. Just one more stanza. God speaks, you respond, where you are or publicly, as you interact with God and allow God's Spirit to move in your life.